My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perek Tezvav. Perek Tezvav describes the successful transfer of the Aron to Yerushalayim amidst great celebration. The events are also recounted in Shmuel Bey's Perek Vav. The Perek opens, Vayas lo vatim bi'ir David. David made for himself houses in the city of David. Vayachen makom la'aron elokim vayet lo ohel. And he prepared a place for the Aron and pitched for it a tent. What is the connection between David building houses in the city of David and the transfer of the Aron? In Shmuel Bey's Perek Zion, and later in Divrei Hayyamim and Perek Yud Zion, David requests permission to build the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. The Psukim in Shmuel read as follows, Vayhi ki yashav ha-melech beveso, v'ashem hiniach lo misaviv mikol ayvav. And it was when the king was settled in his home, and Hashem had granted him safety from the enemies around him. Vayomer ha-melech al-nasan ha-navi, Re'ena anokhi yoshev beveis ha-razim, v'aron ha-lokim yoshev besoch ha-yiriya. And the king said to the prophet Nasan, See that I am dwelling in a house of cedar, and the Aron sits behind curtains? Similarly, and closer in time to Ezra's contemporary audience, Hashem appears to the prophet Haggai and says to that audience that had returned from Babel, from Babylonia, from 70 years of exile, Ko amar Shem tzvakos lemar, ha'am hazeh amru, lo eis bo eis beis Hashem libanos. Hashem says, this nation, meaning those that have returned, have said it is not yet time to build the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's house. The Navi there continues, Ha'is lachem atem l'sheves b'vatechem spunim b'habayas hazecharev? Is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies waste? It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Once your homes have been built and you have safety and security, whether it be personal or national, it's time to turn your attention to the house of Hashem. Whether it's a place for the Aron or the Beis HaMikdash itself, both the Aron and the Beis HaMikdash serve as a resting place for Hashem's Shechina and a symbol of Hashem's presence within the community. The parak continues, Azamar David lo lasis es Aron halokim kiyam halaviyim ki vam bachar Hashem lasis es Aron Hashem. David said, No one shall carry the Aron except for the Leviyim, for Hashem has chosen them to carry the Aron, the Ark of Hashem. Two things had gone wrong when David tried to transfer the Aron in Perek Yud Gimel. One, Uzzah and his brother, the sons of Abinadav, who carried the Aron on a wagon, were not Leviim. Two, the Aron was transported in a wagon instead of being transported on the shoulder, which is how it was meant to be transported based on the instructions in the Chumash. There's a discussion in the Halacha as to whether the Aron can be carried by any Levi, or whether it must specifically be carried by a Kohen, a priest. Rambam Maimonides says in his Book of Mitzvos that only a Kohen, not just any Levi, may carry the Aron. He bases his opinion in part on Sefer Yoshua, the Book of Joshua, Perek Gimel, when the Jews crossed over the Jordan River to enter Israel. The pasuk there says, Vayomer Yehoshua el HaKohanim, Yehoshua, Joshua, said to the priests, Si'u es Aron bris Hashem v'ivru lifnei ha'am. Pick up the Aron and you go first, you cross the Jordan in front of the people. Rambam explains that the reason the original command in the wilderness was given to the entire Levi family of Kahas. Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. The family of Kahas was charged with carrying the Aron. Rambam says the reason the original command went to the whole family of Kahas and not just the Kohanim, not just the priests, was because in the wilderness there weren't enough Kohanim to fill the role, but that the permanent commandment going forward is restricted to the Kohanim. Ramban, Nachmanides, in his glosses to Rambam's Book of Mitzvos, disagrees. He cites our perek in which the Leviim carried the Aron in the days of David. He said, Far be it from us to say that any mitzvah in the Torah has changed and that the Leviim, in their entirety, are permanently disqualified from carrying the Aron and that it has to only specifically be a Kohen. The parak continues detailing the names and numbers of the Leviim who were summoned for the occasion, along with the nation as a whole. Two Kohanim are mentioned by name, Tzadok and Aviasar. Aviasar was a descendant of Eli. Remember, Eli had been the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, at the time that the Irgun was captured. We mentioned in a previous parak that the position of high priest began with the descendants of Aaron's son Elazar, and then Elazar's son Pinchas, and that the high priesthood was temporarily taken away from that family, that Elazar-Pinchas line, and given to the family of Aaron's other son, Isamar. Eli was from the Isamar line, and his descendant Eviasar was the last high priest from that line. In Shlomo's time, the Kohen Gadol of the high priesthood went to Tzadok, a descendant of the Elazar-Pinchas line, and it stayed in that line. David instructs the Levim to purify themselves in preparation and reminds them what happened previously. Ki lima barishona lo atem harat Hashem elokeinu banu. Ki lo dirashnu kamishpat. Because you did not carry it the first time around, Hashem made a breach upon us. We didn't properly seek the Aron last time. Correcting the second error that occurred last time, the pasuk continues, Vayesu v'nei ha-Levim es Aron ha-Lokim kasher tziva Moshe kedvar Hashem v'chseifam b'motos aleihem. And the children of Levi carried the ark upon their shoulders with poles in it as Moshe commanded according to the word of Hashem. The psukim go on to describe the Levi musicians and their positions within the celebration, both in singing and playing musical instruments. Notable Levim who are listed in the psukim are Oved Edom, whose house the Aron had been in, and the psukim also lists somebody named Kenanyahu. It says regarding Kenanyahu that he was Sar HaLevim, he was an officer of the Levim, B'masa Yasur B'masa Ki Mevin Hu. What is Yasur B'masa? Rashi says it's from the word Musar, as in rebuke. He would reprove the Levim in their singing. He would reprove them concerning Masa. Masa is to raise. So he would give them guidance or chastisement concerning the raising of the voice. He would lead the choir by telling his charges when to raise and lower their voices, ki mevin hu, because he was an expert. The pasuk goes on to describe the procession. Vayhi David v'ziknei Yisrael v'sarei halafim holchem l'halos esarum bris Hashem min beis Oved Edom b'simcha. And David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Aron out of the house of Oved Edom with joy. The description of this joyous procession stands in stark contrast to David's sentiment at the end of Perek Yud Gimel. There, after things had gone wrong and David aborted the plan to move the Aron, the pasuk reports Vayira David es Elokim b'yom hahu, and David was afraid of Hashem on that day. Lemar ha'ich avi elai es Aron Elokim, saying, how shall I bring the Ark of Hashem to me? Here in our parak, the Aron was escorted with song and music and a state of joy and love of Hashem, contrasting to David's previous and appropriately placed fear. The pasuk then describes what David was wearing. David mechorbal, David was dancing, the me'il butz, in a robe of fine linen. And then it goes on to say, va'al David ephod bad, an apron of linen. What is this apron of fine linen that David was wearing? An ephod is one of the distinctive pieces of clothing worn by the Kohen Gadol. Because David was engaged in holy service, taking care of the Aron, he wore garments similar to those of the Kohanim who are generally engaged in this type of service. Unlike the Kohanim, however, whose ephod was made of wool, linen, and gold thread, David's ephod was made of simple linen. He wore this ephod instead of his royal garments as an expression of the great humility and devotion with which he approached the transport of the Aron. This combination of humility and passionate devotion is what Michal, the wife of David, criticizes him for in the next pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Vayihi Aron bris Hashem ba'ad ir David, and it came to pass as the Aron came to the city of David. U'michal ba'shal nishkefa ba'ad ha'chalon. And Michal, the daughter of Shaul, David's wife, was looking out the window. Vateres ha'melech David merakeh demesachek. And she saw David dancing and frolicking. Vativetz lo b'liba. And she despised him in her heart. The Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni Anach, tells us that Michal observed David dancing and his clothes flapping in a way that some of his flesh was uncovered. She said to him, "Mishpachto shel beis abba haisana emimcha. My father's house was better than you. Chalila lahem shener ami mehem pisas yad ubisas regal ve'ekav megulin, ela kulam hayu mechubadim imcha. Far be it from then to ever reveal even the palm of their hand or the sole of their foot or a revealed ankle. They were all more respectable than you." Uma amar la David. David answered her, "Lifnei Hashem asher bachar bi, I am dancing before Hashem who has chosen me. Ela beis avich hayu mevakshin kvod atzmam umeinichim kvod shamayim. Your father's house sought their own honor and neglected the honor of Hashem. Vani eni osekein, and I do things differently. Maniach ani kvod atzmi umevakesh ani kvod shamayim. I neglect my own honor and seek the honor of Hashem." The honor of Hashem is a theme of this parak. David takes care to make sure the Aron is properly respected in its transport and that it is brought to an appropriate place in Yerushalayim. When David initiates the moving of the Aron in Parak Yud Gimel, he says, "V'naseh ba'as Aron Elokeinu Eleinu, let's move the Aron to us, to Yerushalayim. Ki lo dirashnuhu b'mei Sha'ol, because we didn't do this, we didn't seek out the Aron, the Ark, in the days of Sha'ol." It seems from this pasuk that David attributed the Aron not having been restored to its proper place after so many years to an underlying fault within Shaul's monarchy, putting the honor of the king ahead of the honor of Hashem. And therefore, when Michal criticized David's unrestrained exuberance, David saw the criticism coming from the values of her father's house and pointed out that history demonstrated that he had been chosen over Shaul. Remember, Michal sided with David in the conflict with Shaul, her father. She saved his life while he was running away. Yet, there's something so ingrained about the values we grew up with, which sometimes are visceral in the way Michal reacted with disgust, rather than necessarily having a conscious or rational reaction. I'm sure many of us can think of values that were part of our own upbringing that have become part of us in a way that's visceral. It was these values that expressed themselves in Michal's reaction. Rashi points out that the story of Michal and David here, that this confrontation between them, is limited in Divrei Hayamim to a single line. Michal nishkefa ba'ad ha'chalon, she was looking out the window, v'tera es melech David m'rakin m'sachek v'tichetez lo b'liba. She saw him dancing and she was disgusted. Michal saw and she reacted. The entire conversation cited by the Medrash is omitted. That conversation is included in Sefer Shmuel. Rashi comments that this is because Divrei Hayamim is written for the honor of David and the Davidic dynasty, and it is a disgrace to David that he was addressed by his wife in the way that he was. When I first read this, I wondered, then why not leave the entire story out? Or why not at least record David's response to Michal, in which he defends himself, rather than leaving her, so to speak, with the last word, "Vativas lo b'liba"? I think the answer is as follows. The attack on David is demeaning, even if he ultimately comes out on top of the argument. So that is omitted. As to why the story is not skipped entirely, perhaps this piece, highlighting the passionate devotion of David to the honor of Hashem, in contrast to the monarchy of Shaul before him, is an important part of the story of the Davidic dynasty. This shir is dedicated to Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.